I'm Virginia Allen, and this is the Daily Signal Top News for Thursday, April 4th. Here are today's headlines. The Diversity, Equity, and Inclusion, or DEI, agenda has become a means to power at Boeing. That's according to a Boeing insider. After multiple Boeing airplanes had some pretty major issues, such as a door blowing off a plane in January, journalist Christopher Rufo began looking into what was really happening inside the major airplane manufacturer. And Rufo sat down for a conversation with an individual who he describes as a Boeing insider. To protect their identity, their name was not released. But this individual, according to Rufo, has direct knowledge of the company's leadership decisions. Rufo just released a transcript of at least what was part of that interview that he had with this Boeing insider. And the individual explained that there has been a lot of changes in Boeing's top leadership in recent years. And this has contributed to the issues. Rufo asked the insider about what inspires leadership to get up in the morning. And the insider said that leaders are driven by status games that rule every boardroom in the country. The DEI narrative is a very real thing, they say, and goes on to say at Boeing, DEI got tied to the status game. It is the thing you embrace if you want to get ahead. It becomes a means to power. The Boeing insider went on to say that the DEI agenda has harmed companies more so, companies like Boeing, even more than it has harmed tech companies. And they explain why. They say that many of the employees doing the work of building the planes tend to be conservative people who like building things, adding that conservative people do not like politics at work. The radicalization of HR doesn't hurt tech businesses like it hurts manufacturing businesses. At Google, they're making a large profit margin and pursuing very progressive hiring policies because they are paying 30% or 40% more than the competition in salary. They are able to get the top 5% of whatever racial group they want. They can afford, in a sense, to pay the DEI tax and still find top people. But this can be catastrophic in low margin or legacy companies, according to this insider. And they go on to say, you are playing musical chairs, and if you do the same thing that Google is doing, you are going to end up with the bottom 20% of the preferred population. So what needs to change and what needs to change now? Well, this insider says that companies like Boeing must recover a sense of service to people and really begin leading their teams, not just repeating DEI talking points. An effort backed by former President Donald Trump to rework Nebraska's electoral votes has failed, at least for now. Nebraska has 5 electoral votes. 2 go to the candidate in the state who wins overall, but the other 3 are divided between the state's 3 congressional districts. While a Republican usually does win the statewide vote in Nebraska, the state's 2nd district in and around Omaha is a very competitive area and does tend to go blue. So Nebraska State Senator Lauren Lippincott introduced a winner-take-all bill that gives all 5 electoral votes to whichever candidate receives the most votes in the state. Trump backed the bill because if passed, it would likely guarantee Trump an additional electoral vote in November. Last night, the Nebraska legislature held a procedural vote on the measure, and it failed significantly in a vote of only 8-36. Nebraska is one of only 2 states that does not have a winner-take-all electoral system. And at least for now, it appears that that will not be changing anytime soon. A prisoner in Utah who is male but identifies as female has castrated himself, according to reports from the Daily Signal's Mary Margaret Olihan. Now the Department of Justice is suing the Utah Department of Corrections. The inmate was reportedly struggling with gender dysphoria and had been prescribed cross-sex hormones. But the DOJ alleges that the prison didn't do enough to accommodate the transgender inmate. The Post Millennial reports that the DOJ complaint alleges that the prison failed to accommodate the inmates' requests for reasonable modifications to some of its sex-based policies. These alleged reasonable modifications include things like transferring the inmate to a women's cell block. The DOJ refers to the male inmate as she in the complaint, saying because Utah Department of Corrections failed to provide her equal access to healthcare services and reasonable modifications for her gender dysphoria to enable her to live consistently with her gender identity, female. Complainant's distress over the incongruence between her gender identity and assigned sex worsened, leading her to perform self-surgery to remove her own testicles in May 2023. So, what is the DOJ asking for? Well, they want the Utah Department of Corrections to offer what they call appropriate services to this prisoner struggling with gender dysphoria and are asking for compensatory damages to be paid to the male prisoner who castrated himself. You can check out today's show notes for Mary Margaret's full report on this story. A new Dutch study has confirmed that the majority of minors struggling with gender dysphoria do indeed grow out of it as they get older. The study was first reported by Christina Buttons earlier this week. And according to Buttons, the study relied on long-term data that revealed that the majority of adolescents expressing a desire to be the opposite sex no longer felt that way in adulthood. The study was done over a span of 15 years and included 2,772 participants. The study followed individuals starting at the age of 11 until their mid-20s. At the beginning of the study, about 1 in 10 of the participants expressed some form of discomfort with their gender. But at the end of the study, just 1 in 25 said they often or sometimes were uncomfortable with their gender. The Dutch study concluded that the results of the current study might help adolescents to realize that it is normal to have some doubts about one's identity and one's gender identity during this age period, and that this is also relatively common. We have a brief update today on former President Donald Trump's legal case out of Georgia. Trump had asked the judge in Georgia to dismiss the charges against him in the Georgia election interference case, and today the judge denied that request. You will remember that District Attorney of Fulton County, Fannie Willis, has accused Trump of seeking to interfere in the 2020 presidential election results in Georgia. Trump and his lawyers said that the former president is protected under the First Amendment, but not according to Fulton County Superior Judge Scott McAfee. For now, the case moves forward. President Joe Biden spoke with Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu today. During that call, Biden called on Netanyahu to institute an immediate ceasefire. The conversation came just days after 7 aid workers were killed by an IDF strike in Gaza. Secretary of State Antony Blinken was speaking to reporters in Brussels today and said that Biden was very clear with Netanyahu about the change in action that the White House is demanding from Israel, per Citizens Free Press.
He made clear the need for Israel to announce a series of specific, concrete, and measurable steps to address civilian harm, humanitarian suffering, and the safety of aid workers. He made clear that U.S. policy with respect to Gaza will be determined by our assessment of Israel's immediate action on these steps.
Blinken went on to say that Biden is urging Netanyahu to conclude a deal that will bring the hostages home and implement a ceasefire. Blinken said that Biden did affirm U.S. support for Israel during the call with Netanyahu. With that, that's going to do it for today's episode. Thanks so much for being with us here on the Daily Signal podcast for our top news. If you haven't had the chance, make sure that you check out our morning show. I'm really excited for tomorrow morning's conversation. I'm sitting down with historian Michael Barone to discuss his new book, Mental Maps of the Founders. It's a fascinating conversation and a fascinating book that he has written, looking at the perspectives of the founders from some of their lived experiences, both considering where they lived and where they traveled during their time as they were founding the nation. So make sure you catch that conversation with Michael Barone tomorrow morning. Also, if you have a minute, make sure that you hit that subscribe button so you never miss out on new shows from the Daily Signal. And also, if you would, take a minute to leave us a 5-star rating and review. Thanks again for being with us today. We'll see you right back here tomorrow morning for my conversation with Michael Barone on his new book, Mental Maps of the Founders.
The Daily Signal podcast is made possible because of listeners like you. Executive producers are Rob Bluey and Kate Trinko. Hosts are Virginia Allen, Brian Gottstein, Mary Margaret Olihan, and Tyler O'Neill. Sound design by Lauren Evans, Mark Guiney, and John Pop. To learn more or support our work, please visit dailysignal.com.